from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Airport safety is in the spotlight again after an Aeromexico plane almost landed on an occupied runway at San Francisco International Airport last week. This comes after two other close calls at SFO last year. And coming up on Forum, safety at SFO. Then at 9:30, the director of California's Office of Emergency Services will join us to discuss whether a false alarm over a nuclear missile attack that scared people in Hawaii could happen in California, and what the state has learned from recent wildfires and landslides about managing emergencies. It's all coming up after this. Welcome to this morning's Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. An Aeromexico plane almost landed on a runway occupied by another commercial jet at San Francisco International Airport last week, marking the third close call at the airport in the past 6 months. And in response to two incidents at SFO last year, Air Canada has begun a comprehensive safety review of all operations. We're going to discuss these recent incidents and passenger safety at the airport, and we do want to hear from you if you have thoughts about airport safety, particularly at SFO. Let us know what your thoughts are, and if you have questions for our guests, we're going to have a number of people with us, I hope, in the course of this half hour. Let us know those questions. 866-733-6786 is the number for you to call. It's toll-free, and you can join us right now at 866-733-6786. And we're joined by Contra Costa Congressman Mark DeSaulnier, and welcome to the program. Good to have you.
Thank you, Michael, for asking me. It's a pleasure.
Well, I guess the place to begin here with you, Congressman DeSaulnier, is with some legislation that you're pushing. I guess we're talking about airport voice recorders now, aren't we, for the most part?
Well, that's one part. That's one part of the component. What I'm concerned about is learning about what the process is for the National Transportation Safety Board to review these near misses to make sure that we don't have a tragedy and we learn from the near misses. The threshold for them to do that, from what I've learned, is too subjective, I believe. And then as a part of that is keeping the cockpit recorder available for them to review. So right now, in these instances, the cockpit recorders have been recorded over right after. So they don't get the value of hearing that conversation, which might help us learn how do we avoid these things.
Yeah, that was what I mentioned first, because it certainly has come out as being central in the Air Canada investigations. But I'm wondering, with these three incidents, if there's a good deal of controversy over whether or not they seem to be related. How do you see it?
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm at a perspective where the National Transportation Safety Board has a great reputation, deservedly. The safety record of commercial air flight is very good. But on the other hand, having been involved in refinery safety, hospital safety, chemical plant safety in my career, I'm concerned that we're not learning from these near misses. So a lot of what the NTSB does evaluations of are incidents where there have been crashes. That's sort of the trigger. And then the rest of these are fairly subjective. So they are looking at the two Air Canada incidents at SFO. But, Michael, one of the things that's happening that I think is that airports, I should say, like SFO and Atlanta, where these things have happened, are busier, and they're pushing more people through. In San Francisco, it's because people want to come there, because our economy is so good. In Atlanta, it's because it's the busiest airport in the United States. So all of this pressure, I'm afraid, has increased what they call runway intrusions, which is part of what's happening here in these near misses. So we should look at that.
Yeah, and in fact, there have been 91 of those runway incursions at SFO in the decade between 2004 and 2014. I want to bring Patrick Smith aboard here. He's an airline pilot and host of AskThePilot.com. Patrick Smith, good to have you. Good morning to you.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Is this a lot of runway incursions, 91 in the course of a decade? And we've had these three close calls here that have all been under investigation by the FAA. How do you read these?
In some ways it is, but we also have to factor in the fact that there are far more airplanes flying than ever before, so it stands to reason that the number of certain types of incidents is going to go up. With respect to San Francisco specifically, and I fly into SFO quite a bit. I appreciate the congressman's efforts to be preemptive and proactive. That's what air safety is all about. But I don't think I see these incidents as signs of some systemic problem with the airport itself. I think they're outliers. I think they're coincidental more than anything else. That's not to say they shouldn't be looked into, so that we can bring these numbers down, these numbers of incursions that are happening not just at SFO, but nationwide and globally for that matter.
Well, you mentioned that there are more. I'm sorry, but you mentioned that there are, you know, simply more flights. There's been a spike, hasn't there, in incidents on both takeoffs and landings?
Yeah, and that's most likely due to the fact that there are more and more planes in the air, and certain airports, and San Francisco is one of them, are more challenging and present more logistical and the logistical challenges. The way the runways and taxiways are laid out, they're more likely for incidents like this to happen than at other airports. But that's not to say the airport is by any measure unsafe. It's just that some airports are more challenging, and for pilots and controllers both, more work intensive than other airports.
Well, we're going to be talking in just... I'm sorry. I thought you would finish your thought, please.
I was just going to say that those challenges are well within the training standards of both controllers and pilots. It's something we deal with really all the time. It's challenging, it's difficult, but it's also routine.
We're talking now with Patrick Smith, airline pilot and host of AskThePilot.com, and Matthias Gaffney is with us as well. He's an investigative reporter for the East Bay Times and the Mercury News, and welcome to the program. Glad to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Matthias, National Transportation Safety Board, according to the paper you write for, the Mercury News, in an editorial, isn't simply not doing enough, not paying attention to recordings, which we talked to the Congressman de Saulnier about, but simply not doing enough, period. You see it that way?
Yeah. I mean, there's been a bunch of events and incidents that's happened at SFO, and they're getting investigated either by the NTSB or the FAA. There is an issue on, you know, just how well they're being investigated. And as you touched on, Congressman de Saulnier's pushing for a better capturing of a lot of the evidence. And critical evidence in these types of incidents are the cockpit voice recorder, which will gather.
That's the first thing I mentioned, yeah.
Right, and which will gather what the pilots were saying to each other inside the cockpit in the moments before these incidents. And so there's a lot of issues on when that evidence is collected. And right now there's a lot of loopholes that allow that stuff to be lost. So there's a lot of people saying that that is critical evidence that is being thrown off by the wayside these days, when we will not fully get to the bottom of these incidents without it.
It's interesting that you should mention other things as well, because in the mix, for example, with the investigations of Air Canada, they've been talking a good deal about the operating systems and about need for increased pilot training.
Yeah, Air Canada just, I was just told by Transport Canada, which is like the FAA essentially of Canada, that they've been working with Air Canada following these two incidents at SFO, and they've come up with a bunch of corrective actions for them, including looking at their entire operating procedures as well as their safety procedures. You know, they want to increase pilot training from, I think it was 8 months to 6 months over the next 3 years. And they're also looking at, you know, doing flight training runs into and out of San Francisco specifically to see if there's any issues there with that. So, yeah, they're, you know, when major, I've talked to pilots and they tell me when there's major incidents like this, that oftentimes that's what it takes for airlines to make changes. And I will note that what we don't know right now is in these incidents, what happened to the pilots. And that's very much a mystery, and I've learned over the process of covering these stories that it's very much up to the airlines themselves to police pilots, and it's not always made public.
Well, the process of this investigation is pretty thorough, in your judgment?
Yeah, I mean, you get eventually the NTSB, you know, for they haven't completed any of these investigations at SFO that we're talking about, but eventually you'll get very regimented, documented timelines of everything that's happened. You know, everything is recorded. You know, there's radar following these planes. There's ground and air, and there's people. There's not the cockpit voice recorder, but the flight recorder gets all the data from the planes. And you know, a lot of these NTSB investigations are after accidents, catastrophic accidents, where you got to find a black box, right? And so on those, you don't have pilots to talk to generally. They usually die in those crashes. And so you have pilots that you talk to in these incidents. So it's very thorough. But at the same time, when we're talking about issues that might involve pilot error, the people I talk to say it's critical for those cockpit voice recorders to also be pulled.
Well, we should also mention the FAA changed the rules with SFO back in July after the Air Canada incident. Air traffic control tower staffing and how pilots approach landings has now gone under some changes, and there's a lot of concern about guidelines and rules at airports. Are they adequate? I want to throw out an opportunity for you, our listeners, to join this conversation, and we do indeed welcome your thoughts as well as observations you may have as passengers of flights, or we have a lot of people who work for the airlines who listen to us, and we'd like to hear your thoughts and like to hear any questions or comments you might have. This is a half-hour segment, so the time to join us would be now. And you can join us at our toll-free number. It's 866-733-6786. That number is available, and please feel free to call us, 866-733-6786. A number of other ways for you to join the program. You can email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website and post questions or comments there at kqed.org/forum, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. We do welcome your involvement. And again, Matthias Gaffney is with us in studio. He's East Bay Times and Mercury News reporter, investigative reporter. And with us by phone is Patrick Smith, host of AskThePilot.com, who's an airline pilot. And I wonder, before we go to calls and emails here, Patrick Smith, if you could comment on an editorial that, I mean, from your perspective as a pilot, but also a veteran for many years in terms of all of the airport activity that we're talking about here and all the things that have to be taken under the aegis of consideration. There was an editorial in Newsweek that said, pay airport workers more and you'll have more safety. And this came out of a UC Berkeley Labor Center report that said it's vital for safety. You've got low wages, you've got high turnover, you've got less skilled workers. Seems to make some modicum of sense. Your thoughts?
It's hard to disagree with that, but which airport workers specifically are they talking about? Ground personnel, mechanics, people who work directly for the airline, contractors, air traffic controllers. There are different there are many different people at airports who work for different entities. Meanwhile, just to back up a second, I don't disagree with anything the last guest just said. I think it's important to note that having access to the cockpit voice recorders and transcripts isn't necessarily going to give you the answers as to what happened. The problem can be air traffic controller error. It can be some sort of technological snafu. It can be a combination of those things. Meanwhile, I think it's also important for people to realize that airlines do not take these incidents lightly. This is something that's looked at in-house very, very thoroughly. I can attest to that at my own carrier. These sorts of incidents are looked at very closely. It's something that we in the pilot group are conscious of and get a lot of feedback from and we feed back into. There's a lot of self-reporting that goes on at airlines where we are proactive in the sense that we how to explain this exactly to the layperson, but it's true stuff is not necessarily released to the public and brought to the press and that sort of thing, but it's mulled over in-house, and just to emphasize, it's not something that's taken lightly. And I think maybe that there's an idea out there that airlines try to sweep this under the rug and ignore it, and that's not the case at all.
Well, let me just go – I'm going to go to calls here, but let me just go back to you, Matthias, on this Newsweek editorial, which I was struck by, particularly in light of the fact that Los Angeles International Airport, which is the second biggest, San Francisco is the 23rd, and they're actually raising minimum compensation and training standards. I mean, they've done a lot, and they've had improved results that are pretty definitive. It suggests perhaps the need – to consider these kinds of things, including maybe raising wages?
Well, I've talked to various people after doing these stories, and one of the staffing issues that has been addressed specifically with SFO following these stories is they need the requirement to have two flight air traffic controllers in the tower at one time.
I'm sorry, but I just have to add this because you're talking about air traffic controllers. Yeah. With LAX, I saw a statistic that just almost blew my mind. Air traffic controllers' overtime has gone up 2,000% just in the last decade. I mean, it's very striking and dramatic.
I've spoken to air traffic controllers who say they're very understaffed. The person for that first incident in October when in July when the plane nearly landed on the crowded taxiway, there was two people on duty, although only one was in the tower at the time. And that one person was at the time of this aborted landing that nearly ended in a very big tragedy. At the time that happened, he was in talks with someone, a different facility at the time. So you have one person kind of, keeping this all under control. And they're saying now, since then, they ordered two people to be in the tower during those nighttime hours. And so you have, and I've talked to a lot of people where they say the staffing issues, there's currently legislation, federal legislation, where they're talking about privatizing air traffic control. But in general, you know, when we're talking about the safety, we're talking about pilots mainly, and we're talking about air traffic controllers. And the one thing I keep hearing over and over is how air traffic controllers feel like they are very much squeezed and they could use more hands on deck.
Well, we can use some callers and hear what you, our listeners, have to say. Let's begin with an airline pilot by the name of Gary, who's joining us from Concord this morning. Gary, welcome.
Yeah, hi. I flew for an airline for 26 years as in the training department. Instructor and check airman. Your guest is absolutely correct in that the airlines do not take this lightly at all. The problem is these things come to light, and the public doesn't understand in general the realities of this stuff. And to me, this was a very minor incident, this latest one at San Francisco. But
you talk about the Aeromexico incident, yeah.
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 The thought of privatization of ATC is the worst idea that has been floated in a long time. That would only exacerbate any of the ATC issues that we have right now. The Aviation Trust Fund has been in existence for decades, and they keep setting that aside so that the budget deficit doesn't look so bad, and they're not spending that money on the things that it needs to be spent on. Pilot training is a huge issue. The airlines do the best that they can. But we're also coming into a huge pilot shortage. We're going to have less and less experienced pilots being brought into all aspects of aviation. And so we need to start looking at every feature of this. But to run around with our hair on fire as if this was something that was a near disaster doesn't serve anyone. If an incident is bad enough, then the flight data recorder, referred to as the black box, and the cockpit voice recorder, that information will be pulled. But there are ATC tapes, so they know what the controllers said. They know what the crew, the Aeromexico crew said on the radio. They just simply misidentified what runway they were lined up with.
Wasn't there a Virgin American airline about to depart in the wrong runway in that incident with Aeromexico, and it came down pretty close, didn't it?
Well, there was an airplane on the runway.
It was lined up the wrong way on the runway. Was my understanding.
You know what? I haven't looked that closely at it, but again,
maybe Matthias can help us here. Matthias.
Yeah, no, it was this latest incident with Aeromexico. Aeromexico gets cleared for the right runway. They line up for the left runway,
yeah,
which a Virgin America airline had appropriately lined up on the left runway as well to take off, had gotten clearance. And so it was Aeromexico one that lined up for the wrong runway and came about, pulled up from aborted this landing at about, like, I think it was like 0.69 miles away from the start of the runway where that plane was essentially.
That's exactly what it was.
Well,
I think Patrick Smith wants in here. Go ahead, Patrick.
That does not make the incident a near miss or a near catastrophe. I think of these incidents, the first Air Canada one was the most serious, while the rest of them, because they're somewhat similar, they tend to intensify this conversation, but that's not necessarily fair. I think the caller there was just alluding to the fact that we don't want to run around with our hair on fire. That we don't want to make too much of this, and that's not to say these things should be discarded, but, we should be happy in a sense that we're not sitting here talking about
a catastrophe
or two disasters that killed 300 or 400 people. The fact is that air travel has never been safer than it is right now. And these sorts of incidents, in a weird way, underscore that. Because in decades past, when you had 2, 3, 4, 5 major crashes every single year, this would have been an entirely different conversation. I'm glad we're having this conversation because it shows how far we've come, and my sense is that things will only get safer.
Well, I hope so, and there is more legislation in the pipe. Senator Jerry Hill is sponsoring some. But let me get some more callers in the pipe here on the air. Sarah, you're on the air.
Hi there. I was just curious about the communication systems that the airlines are required to use or that they use, and is there a standard system? I had just heard with the Air Canada incident that there was a challenge with air traffic control and the communication of the airline, specifically with Air Canada. I don't know if you all know anything about that.
No, Matthias, can you help us here?
You might be referring to the second Air Canada incident. That was when a pilot was landing his plane at SFO, and an air traffic controller believed there to be an airplane still on the runway that it was planned to land on. And so it started.
Well, there was.
It was.
Jet liner,
it was at first. In the end, the plane eventually cleared by the time it landed. But I think the air traffic controller gave 6 straight warnings to go around, which is essentially to abort the landing. And the plane was not aborting the landing. And there was no response from the pilot. And so they actually brought out, which is pretty rare, I'm told, this laser light essentially from the air traffic control tower to point at the pilot to give them a heads up that you were not supposed to land. The plane eventually landed safely. And so that is one of the ones that's being reviewed. And that flight crew said that there was problems with their radio. And that's why they didn't hear those orders to abort. So, yeah, I mean, air traffic control is in constant communication with the pilots, and especially during the landings. I mean, there's public, you can hear it, the general public can listen to these communications live as they're happening at SFO or Oakland.
Well, speaking about the general public, before we end the segment, I want to read some comments that are coming in. David writes, they should deploy large, simple, illuminated color-coded symbols for each runway visible from a mile away. The system could reduce pilot runway errors and reduce the risk of accidents. And just a quick question for you from a listener named Matt Patrick Smith. He wants to know, isn't the automated control of piloting going to render this whole point moot soon?
No, not at all. That comes up frequently as kind of a...
It's a pipe dream.
Fix-all. Yeah, I mean, don't get me started on that. We could talk all day about that, but...
We can't because we've only got seconds left here. We have to wrap it up, but thanks, Patrick Smith, and thanks to Congressman Desaulniers, and thanks to Matthias Gaffney from the East Bay Times and Mercury News, and thanks, of course, to you, our listeners. We're going to do another segment up ahead. We're going to talk about, after the incident, the false warning in Hawaii. What does it mean here in California? Late wildfire notifications and all kinds of controversy over emergency warning systems. We're going to talk to the director of emergency services.